Yesterday morning, we went out to watch our little grandson, 6 years old, play his first football game. And, you know, 6 years old, first grade. I mean, when Tim, his daddy, was sitting there, my son, he was sitting there beside me, and I said, "Son, you didn't start playing football this early. How old were you?" He said, "Dad, I was in the third grade when we started." I said, "Third grade." I said, "Well, when I was a young man, I started in the seventh grade." So we go from the seventh to the third, and now they're in the first grade. Man. And every time I would talk to him, of course, I knew this situation. And sure, when we got home last night, Cheryl said, "I didn't know that Tim was hard of hearing." And I said, "Oh, yeah, we have tubes in his left ear." When he was a little tiny boy, little tiny baby. He had a problem with his ear. I was raised in a Baptist church. I didn't know you could pray and get things like that fixed. I didn't know how to get it done. So, I mean, I don't ever remember praying for my son for his ear. We took him to the doctor and they put tubes in his ears and it caused a problem with the eardrum of the left one, and he's always been very hard hearing with the left ear. So after we got home and Cheryl said, "I didn't know Tim was hard hearing in the left ear," I thought to myself, you know, he's only been like that 35 years old, so he's only been like that about 30 of those years. And I thought, you know, I haven't spent any time praying for him. So this morning, I spent some time before the throne of grace. I mean, it's not going to be long to one day my son's going to come in and he's going to say, "Dad, I don't know what's happened to my left ear, but I'm getting where I can hear much better in my left ear." In fact, I'm going to expect him to come in not in the too distant future saying, "Dad, I'm getting where I can hear better in my ear." And I'm going to say, "Well, son, I've been praying for you. I don't know. You're going to have to forgive me because I should have been doing that all along." Although I knew the problem, I'm kind of like Sharon was. She's had this problem in her knees all these years, but only 2 months ago, she got a hold of it. And when she did, God healed her. Now, there was a time, wasn't there, Sharon? It was your time. Joseph, it was your daughter and son-in-law's time. And see, there's a time for everything. And God's in control of this time. That's just like after Cheryl said what she did yesterday, I didn't realize Tim was hard of hearing. And I thought, you know, here I am, a man of God, pray for people all the time, see all kinds of miracles, and never pray for my own son's hearing. What is wrong with me, girl? What is wrong? Would you call that stupid? Or what? Don't you call me stupid. I can call myself stupid. But isn't that terrible how we do those? Scott, isn't it awful that we suffer the things we suffer, yet we're attached to the King of the universe? Well, why do you think he just inspired me through Cheryl yesterday to start praying for him? It's his time. It's his time. And I believe with all my heart in the very near future. It says that there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time. There's a time for everything. A time to plant and a time to harvest. You know, and I didn't realize the significance of a time to plant. You know, whenever I always went out when Dad would say, "Okay, son, it's time to plant the whatever." We'd go out and plant the potatoes. I said, "Well, how about planting the cucumbers?" "Oh, no, that's not time. We don't plant them at the same time." Well, I thought, a day is a day. You know, I didn't know. So one time, you know, when I got away from home and everything, and I thought, well, Mom and Dad had a garden. You know, I'll plant me a garden. And so I dug up a little bit of stuff, and of course, I went out there and planted everything the same day. And I planted, I think I planted cantaloupes right beside of the cucumbers, and the cantaloupes taste like cucumbers. I didn't know you got to plant them 3 or 4 rows apart. I didn't know they would interpollinate. It wasn't time. And then, of course, what I didn't understand, Dad used to say, well, you know, you plant these in the dark of the moon. You plant this in the light of the moon. I didn't know what he meant. But later on, I learned that you plant things according to the darkness or the light of the moon. I believe the way it is, everything that grows underground, you plant in the dark of the moon. Things that grow above ground, like tomatoes and cucumbers and squash, you plant those in the light of the moon. And I still don't understand all that. But I know my mother and Dad had a tremendous garden every year. So I know Dad had some knowledge there that I don't have. But now that when I study the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon reiterates to me, there is a time for everything. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Verse 3 and 4. A time to kill and a time to heal. Wow. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to rebuild. It looks like there's a time for everything here. He says there's a time to cry and a time to laugh. Carol asked me after we got married, she says, when your wife and daughter got killed in a car wreck, did you cry? I told her, no, I didn't. And somebody says, I don't see how you could lose your wife and daughter and not cry. It wasn't time for me to cry. It was time for me to fight a battle for my granddaughter. I was so intense in the next 30 days at Cook's Medical Center that I absolutely got to see God clean out Cook's Medical Center, the emergency ward. I saw him heal 9 babies in 30 days that I was in that hospital. There was no time to cry. There was time to praise God. Wouldn't you say that, Betty? I look back at those 30 days that I was in that hospital, and it seemed like it didn't really happen. You know, to think that I had the privilege to walk through that place and all those little children to pray over them, that was all kinds of nationalities, white boys, black boys, girls, you know, little Spanish, you name it. I got to pray over every kind of child, 9 total, and see God heal 9 little babies that were, the doctors told me, every one of them was supposed to die. But yet, every one of them got healed. Now, does that sound like Jesus? I'm telling you, the King of the universe shows up whenever you get to see him do something like that. But there was a time. You know, that time came forth for me to walk there and to do that. And so once she said, did you cry? I said, no. She said, I don't see how you could lose your wife and your daughter and not cry. But yesterday, after the football game, we went by Mom's Cafe, and we were sitting there, and she said something about my daughter and about Caitlin. And guess what a grown man did in the cafe? He cried. You know, I had to wipe the tears out. I thought, what is wrong with me? You know? I thought about that little 24-year-old girl that I had the privilege to raise for 24 years, and she was the apple of daddy's eye. And I lost her at 24. And that came back. You know, and I thought, oh, God, there was a time for Amanda to be born and a time for Amanda to go home. And as Cheryl and I talked about, she said, you know, you've told me many times that Amanda was so attached to her mother. In fact, whenever I was going to build my house down here on the backside over here on Florence Road, I already had the ground graded off and had it staked out. I was fixing to start building my daughter and her husband a home over there on Florence Road when she got killed. And when I was over there showing them where I was going to build it, she went over there with me. And of course, you know, from right over there to right here is only a quarter of a mile. You know, and of course, to get here without driving through the pasture, you got to go around the road all the way up Florence Road to 407, down 407 to Fault, and then down Fault down here. And it's about 2 miles around that road. And she was standing there, and she said, Daddy, when you get our house built here, can you build me a road from right here to our house? I said, why? She said, because I don't want to be so far away from Mama. She loved her mother. You know, she went everywhere, done everything with her mother. And so, like Cheryl and I talked yesterday, if Betty had got killed in that car wreck by herself and Amanda had been left, who knows what kind of depression she would have went through because she couldn't stand to be without her mother. You think God understands all that, Bill? I think he understands everything, and I believe that's why he took them both home together, don't you? Because he knew what he was doing. And so there's a time. There's a time to cry, and there's a time to kill, and a time to heal. You know, those two girls were both killed that day in that car wreck, both of them. But a time to kill and a time to heal. And, of course, Caitlin was miraculously healed, as we all know. You know, that little girl's now 12 years old, and, of course, she stepped up into the upper echelons now. She's going to a new school. She's over here, and she's going to be a teenager here shortly. You know, it's not going to be long. And, you know, you can just tell the way she acts, you know, that she's kind of stepped up, you know. You know, I'm fixing to be a teenager, and I'm in what school they call that? Mid middle school or something before they go into high school, all that stuff. Now she's stepping up, Bill. She's really stepping up. I thought, wow, is she getting to be a big girl or is she getting to be a big girl? But there's a time to cry and a time to laugh. You know, there's some times that you're going to have times that you're just going to fall apart. You're going to cry over certain things. And then there's other times you're going to be hysterically happy and everything's going to be great. A time to grieve and a time to dance. I was raised a Baptist. There's never a time to dance in the Baptist church. You know, I mean, I think some of the Baptists have kind of eased off of that a little, but, you know, I mean, you don't talk about having a dance in a Baptist church, most of them. Oh, my goodness gracious. In fact, I got tickled. The chairman of deacons at the Lakeland Baptist Church, big church, I say big, it was about 2,500 when I left there, over here in Louisville. I'd been a deacon and a Sunday school teacher in that church for years. And one of the men there in that church, which was a deacon there, and actually he was chairman of the deacons, his daughter got married. And we went out, his daughter and her new husband wanted to have a reception out on the lake out there. And we got out there and they had a bottle of champagne. And they wanted to have, you know, champagne over their wedding and all that stuff. So I took a little bitty sip of it. I don't like the stuff, but so I didn't take much. I just a little bitty tiny sip. I just don't like it. But anyway, the main thing that the chairman of deacons was concerned about after his daughter and them had opened the champagne and all, they had a little glass. She wanted her daddy to dance with her the first dance. And so he got out there and he danced and he got through dancing. He come off the floor. As he come off the floor, he got right at me. He said, "Thurman, what am I going to tell the church?" I said, "Tell them to read Psalms 150. He said, "What does it say?" I said, "If you don't know what it says, I'm going to let you read it." Oh, boy, the next Sunday he come in and said, "Glory to God, that psalm set me free." In fact, let's go from where we are right here. I want you to go to Psalms 150. And I want you to see what the Lord tells us to do. Psalms 150. It's just a few verses when we'll come back to verse 5. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His heavenly dwelling. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequal greatness.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, "There is a time for everything," or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.